At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The number of homeless people in Dallas and Collin counties haven't changed much. Stephanie Kuo has more on the new report from the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance.
Across Dallas and Collin counties, the overall number of homeless people fell slightly by just 0.5%. But there was an increase in certain categories of homelessness that advocates say are more important to monitor. Cindy Crane is the president of the Homeless Alliance.
When you think of homelessness, you think of people on the street and people in emergency shelter. So when you just look at that core, unsheltered and emergency sheltered housing, it was an 8.6% increase from the prior year. I think that is a better baseline to start measuring against.
The report found that homelessness is still largely concentrated in Dallas, but that the biggest percentage increase in homelessness actually happened in Collin County, in Frisco and Wiley. Though the numbers in Collin County are comparatively lower, its homeless population doubled to over 100 people. Crane, who is a member of the KERA Advisory Board, says the Homeless Alliance will push for more policy changes that will ensure the neediest get help first.
I want to see a dramatic decrease in homelessness next year. I would love to see a 20% decrease in unsheltered homeless a year from now, but that's going to take street outreach, more engagement, better data, and also to improve the number of permanent supportive housing beds we have.
Following several homeless camp closures over the past year, advocates have pushed Dallas and Dallas County to make fighting homelessness a financial priority. They've also called for a housing first policy, which prioritizes finding permanent housing before addressing health and employment needs. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Now to our Friday conversation. Jeb Hensarling is a key congressional figure in remaking health care and financial regulation. The Republican represents parts of Dallas and East Texas. He chairs the powerful House Financial Services Committee. Rick Holter caught up with Hensarling just before a vote in the U.S. Capitol.
Jeb Hensarling, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate the invite.
Republicans unveiled their plan to change the Affordable Care Act this week. It's called the American Health Care Act. Are you on board?
Well, it's the first step, and I'm certainly on board for the first step. I think there is room for improvement on how the refundable advanceable tax credits are treated, but we do need to equalize the tax treatment so that an employee can take their health care with them. That's an important part of the bill. Now, there's different ways of going about it. Medicaid expansion, again, Texas is a state that didn't engage in the Medicaid expansion, and we shouldn't be punished or have to subsidize states that did. So I think it could be more market-oriented than it is, but at the end of the day, at some point, you're given a binary choice, either Obamacare or some other bill. And as long as the other bill improves it, I'm going to vote for the other bill. And I think most Republicans will as well.
What do you say to someone, say a couple in Mesquite, too young for Medicare? They've managed to get health care through the Affordable Care Act. But what they're seeing in this proposal is a $4,000 tax credit that won't nearly cover the amount of insurance that they need.
Well, Obamacare has sent premiums skyrocketing because of the mandates. What we say to them is, number one, there's going to be a transition period as we build a market. And when you have a market, we will have drivers to drive the cost down. For example, the ability to buy health care in a different state, which today you do not have. There will be greater choices. So either you believe markets work, which they seem to work in auto insurance and in life insurance, or you don't believe they work. The rug will not be pulled out from anybody. There will be a transition to a competitive marketplace that's going to make healthcare ultimately more affordable and portable for them.
Now, you're a key figure in financial regulation. Specifically, the thing you've taken out after is Dodd-Frank. You've been a critic of it ever since it was approved in the wake of the financial crisis. What's your top priority to change with Dodd-Frank?
The big issue is Dodd-Frank didn't live up to any of its promises. And so what we need is a policy and a bill that gives us economic growth for all and bank bailouts for none. And so I've put forward something called the Financial Choice Act that would end bank bailouts once and for all. We would give regulatory relief to community financial institutions. We would also have the strongest penalties for Wall Street wrongdoers that have ever been written on the books. Sometimes we would double or triple fines. So we will hold Wall Street accountable, but we'll also hold Washington accountable. And we're losing the rule of law, and we're losing it to the discretion of regulators.
Now, it was created as kind of a safety net after the financial crisis. You want to ease up on stress tests for banks, weaken or get rid of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, put it under presidential control, get rid of the requirement that investment bankers work in their customers' best financial interests. Couldn't that be argued that you're just opening the economy back up to a 2008-style financial crisis?
Well, it probably doesn't surprise you. I don't agree with your characterization. What the Financial Choice Act does is it requires banks to put up real capital. It requires them to have loss-absorbing capital in place of taxpayer capital. So according to data from the FDIC, 98% of the banks that had a 10% simple capital ratio survived the last financial panic, which was the second worst in America's history. This is far greater levels of private capital than are required under the Dodd-Frank law. So we believe that there is greater safety in capital. We believe also that we should have simplicity and not complexity. We're not trying to save any individual financial institution. We're trying to save the financial apparatus in our whole financial system, and we do that by higher levels of capital. With respect to the CFPB, we want it to be a cop on the beat. What we don't want it to be is a Congress, a judge, and a jury that runs afoul of due process, that runs afoul of checks and balances. And we have roughly 18 major consumer protection laws on the books. We want them enforced through an apparatus in an agency not unlike the Federal Trade Commission. But ultimately, we believe in the fundamental economic liberties of the American citizen, and we know the greatest consumer protection is competitive, transparent, innovative consumer markets.
Jeb Henseling, thanks for taking the time.
I was happy to be here. Thanks.
Partly cloudy skies expected later today. There's a slight chance for showers, highs in the lower 70s. Tonight looks to be mostly cloudy, a 20% chance for storms, low around 57. 66 degrees in Dallas.